All right, if you will, turn into your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Two places this morning, Psalm 37 and Psalm 119. We'll read those in just a second. Last week, we began to look at 20 things that we as Christian parents must teach our children. The Bible tells us to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture means instruction. Admonition means counsel. We're to bring up our children in the instruction and counsel of the Lord. And in order to do that, in order to fulfill that responsibility, there are things that we as Christian parents must be teaching our children if they're going to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We looked at 10 last week. We're going to continue and finish the last 10 this week. There are definitely more than just 20 things that we need to be teaching our children, but these are definitely some very important things that we should strive to be teaching. We're not going to be perfect. Don't think I'm the perfect father up here. I struggle just as much as anybody else. As you deal with your children, time gets in the way and things get in the way. But we have to remember, as Christians, our focus is Christ. And the rearing of our children is not so they grow up and be an astronaut, not that they grow up and be a baseball player, not that they grow up and work in the steel mill. Those are all fine things. But our goal as Christian parents is that our children grow up and love God. That's what we want. And if they can work in the steel mill and love God. And if they go into that field or whatever field, that's fine as long as they continue to love God. But yet we can raise our children to grow up and get a really good job and not love God. And I think that's a failure as parents. We want our children to grow up in whatever area of life they go off into. God has gifted them with their different abilities, but at the end of the day, we want them to love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we want them to act as God would have them to act. So we really need to be working on teaching our children these things. Now, again, primarily, I'm speaking to parents this morning with children that are still in the home. But all of these lessons, as you saw last week, are things that you can work on. If you are an adult here, any born-again believer, these are things that perhaps your parent didn't teach you that maybe you should work on yourself, or just in general, these are things that we can all work on to be who God wants us to be. So we'll pray, and our first stop is here in Psalm 119 and Psalm 37. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I do pray especially for our parents here, those that profess their faith in Jesus Christ, that you would help us to pass on that faith to our children. Lord, help us to be teaching them in the way that they ought to go. The world is out there vying for their attention. The world is out there actively teaching our children, whether we like it or not. Lord, help us as Christian parents to focus our children back to you, to get them into the Word of God, get them into a good Bible-believing church. Help us to help them love God and love others. Lord, I pray you be with your Word today as it goes forth. Lord, as we look at these different lessons that we should be teaching our children, may you help each and every one of us, not just to teach our children these things, but Lord, help us to learn them ourselves and to exemplify them in front of our children. We thank you again for all that you have done for us. May you bless our time together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 11 on the list is Christian parents must teach their children to hide God's word in their heart. Let me say that again. Christian parents must teach their children to hide God's word in their heart. Psalm 119, let's start reading in verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Last week we saw that we need to be teaching our children the scriptures. Here's the next step. Teach your children to memorize the scriptures. That's what we mean by hiding God's word in our heart. Now again, You can't teach your children to do that if you're not doing that. And this is one of those lessons that is applicable to every born-again believer. God wants you to hide His word in your heart, meaning you're so familiar with these verses in the Bible, and probably not every one of them that's in there, but there are certain verses that are very applicable, especially to children, or if you're a single man, or if you're a single lady, or a married woman, or a married man, that you should really strive to commit to memory, because that can do nothing but help you to go in the way you ought to go. The Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. What the Holy Spirit uses in your life is God's Word. Well, if you don't know God's Word, it's going to be really hard for Him to use that in your life. You have to read the Scriptures. You have to commit it to memory. And we need to be helping our children to do that. Help your children to memorize Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. All of these verses that we've been looking at over last week and verses we will look at over this week, verses on obedience, verses on lying, verses on working, verses on the gospel. Don't just read those to your children. Do that. But then also spend some time to help them memorize those Bible verses so that they can commit them to memory and hide them in their heart. What is the benefit in doing that? Look at the end of verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The more your child has God's word in their heart and mind, the more it will help them to not sin. Because again, what does the Spirit use? He uses the Word of God. This is why people in our culture today can go out and lie over and over and over and never feel bad about it. Because they don't know the Scripture that says don't lie. And so the Holy Spirit can't convict them of that, and they don't know it. And same in Christian homes. We need to be teaching our children these basic Bible truths, so now the Holy Spirit has something to work with in the hearts and minds of our young people. Go with me to Psalm 37. Again, each one of these points, we have two scripture verses we'll look at. Psalm 37, verse 31. Notice this. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I hope you don't want your children's steps to slide away from God. I would hope that is the prayer of every Christian parent. I want my kids, as they grow older, to not slide away from God, to not slide into sin, to not slide into drugs and alcohol, to not slide into all of these things that are so prevalent in our culture. How do we get our children, how do we get ourselves, adults, to not slide with the law of our God in our heart? Meaning, I'm reading it, and as best I can, I'm committing it to mind and heart. The more the law of God is in our hearts, the less our steps will slide. So Christian parents must teach their children to hide God's word in their heart. Number 12, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and James chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4. James chapter 1. Christian parents must teach their children to pray. Christian parents must teach their children to pray. Listen, I hope you understand the balance. I teach my children how to throw a baseball. I've done that. Okay? I taught my children how to throw a football. But at the end of the day, it's not about teaching your kids to throw a ball. That makes us no different than the world. The world can teach your kid how to throw a ball. You know what the world will not teach your kid? To hide God's word in their heart and to pray. They won't do that. But yet Christian parents fall in line with all the worldly parents, and we spend all of our time teaching our children to throw balls. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm saying that if that's the only thing you do, you're missing it as a Christian parent. Teach your children to pray, because that's what they're going to need in their life. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's start reading in verse number 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created, here's what I want to look at, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. So you can eat anything you want, if it be received with thanksgiving. You should teach your children to pray before they eat. It used to be, you go to restaurants and would see people praying at the restaurant. You don't see that much anymore. You know why? Parents don't teach their kids to pray before they eat. Again, this is just a simple area, but to me, this is a simple area to start with your child. Before you eat the food, pray and thank God that you have food sitting in front of you. Because there's lots of children that have no food in front of them today. But thank God you have food in front of you. Receive it with thanksgiving. Tell God, thank you for the food. Don't bless the food. We're blessing God for the food. Okay? Thank you, God, that I have food to eat today. Teach your children that when they're young. I pray today before I eat because that's how my parents taught me. And it's biblical, right? We pray before we eat to thank God for the food that we have. James chapter 1. But as they go throughout the rest of their life, you know, mom and dad aren't always going to be there. And we're training our children to be independent. We want them to be independent of mom and dad. Doesn't mean they can't ever come over the house or have a relationship, but we want them to be independent. But one day, mom and dad may not even be there anymore. Who are they going to run to? Who are they going to talk to? Who are they going to bring their cares and concerns to? You better teach them now. Bring that to the Lord. Take those things to the Lord. Yes, come talk to mom and dad. I'll give you what wisdom I can give you, and I'll give you what comfort I can give you. But one day, mom and dad's not going to be here anymore. Who are they going to go to? Teach them to go to the Lord in prayer. James 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. What our young people are going to need as they get older is wisdom. And hopefully, as we have good relationships with our children, they come to us and we try to impart the wisdom that we have. And hopefully that wisdom is wisdom that comes from the Word of God. But at the same time, we also want to help them know this. If you're a born-again believer, you can pray to God too. Go to the Lord and ask Him for wisdom. What should I do here? What should I do there? Christian parents must teach their children to pray. Number 13, Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Again, every one of these could be their own message. We could spend a lot more time. But we'll move quickly through them today. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Christian parents must teach their children to sing unto the Lord. To sing unto the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You either teach your children to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, or the world will teach them to sing the songs of Taylor Swift. They will sing. Singing is just who we are. We love to sing. God made us to sing. And you know what the Bible says you need to teach your children to sing? Not the songs of the world. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What a shame it is for kids growing up in Christian homes to know more country songs and Taylor Swift songs and rock songs than songs of the faith. Songs, spiritual songs about God. Again, if you don't actively do that, if you wait until you come to church to sing with your children unto the Lord, those four songs in the Sunday morning service isn't going to cut it. Daily, you should strive daily to sing with your children unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Why should we sing with our children unto the Lord? Why should we teach them to sing unto the Lord? Notice what the Bible says here, Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, one of the benefits of singing is teaching. Every time you sing, that song is teaching you. Which is why when we come to church, we sing. Because what do the songs do? They teach us. What will spiritual songs do? Teach you. This morning we said, look to the Lamb of God. What did that song teach all of us today? I need to look to the Lamb of God. What will the songs of the world teach you? I don't know because I don't listen to them, but look to yourself, look to your ex, look to your pickup and your dog, you know, whatever they tell you to look to. They're not going to tell you to look to the Lamb of God. But then our children grow up hearing all of these songs. Songs teach you. If they're not teaching you spiritual things, they're teaching you something else. They direct you. They direct your mind somewhere. Christian songs direct my mind to Christ. Guess what worldly songs direct my mind to? The world. And whatever junk that rapper's singing about. And some of those songs are filthy. But we say, oh, this one's okay. That's just a gateway drug into the other stuff. Be careful what you allow your kids to listen to. Teach them to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, again, if you're going to teach them that, guess what you have to be doing? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You have to do it. When we get in the car, I turn on, well, a lot of times we turn on Patch the Pirate because that's what the kids like. But when I get in my car, my blue car, and I turn on music, it's always Christian. Always. I don't think I own something that's not. And when my kids get in the car, guess what I turn on? The Christian music. And we sing. We sing. When Rush Limbaugh was on, I turn on Rush Limbaugh every once in a while. But he passed now for a few years. But you know what I listen to? Almost nonstop. Christian songs. We get in the car with the boys, we turn on Christian music, and we sing. Teach your children to sing unto the Lord. That's what's going to help them in their life. That will help you to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number 14, Philippians chapter 2. Both of our passages are here in Philippians chapter 2. Christian parents must teach their children to not be selfish. Christian parents must teach their children to not be selfish or self-centered. Philippians chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 19. Paul said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Notice what Paul has to say here in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. All Paul had was Timothy to go help these people because everybody else seeks their own. You know what's natural in us? And if you have children, you know this from the smallest of ages, that all seek their own. Mine, give it to me. Doesn't matter if it's that person's or that person's is playing it. They go over, bump the head, and take it because they're selfish. We're just selfish creatures. We grow up self-centered. Guess what we need to teach our children then? Don't be that. Okay? You have a desire, a natural desire to go that way. Be selfless. Don't be selfish and self-centered. Back up to the beginning of chapter 2, notice what Paul says. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We need to teach our children life isn't about me, myself, and I. Don't just value yourself and think about yourselves. Value other people and think about others. We need to teach our children to not be selfish and self-centered. Number 15, go with me to Ecclesiastes 9 and Colossians 3. So you're right there near Colossians. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. If you can find Psalms, then you'll find Proverbs, and then you'll find Ecclesiastes. Colossians 3, Ecclesiastes 9. We're going to look at the Ecclesiastes one first. Number 15, Christian parents must teach their children to do their best at whatever is before them. Teach them to do their best at whatever is before them. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 10. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You've got two extremes out there, at least this is what I've seen, and probably you've seen it as well. You have people that require perfection from their children. And then you have people that require nothing from their children. The biblical balance is this. Teach your children to do their best. If their best is B's in school, that's fine, do your best. But if your best is an A, then get the A. There's other people that just don't care. Now, that's wrong too. We don't require perfection because none of us are perfect. But we also don't have no expectations. We want them to try their best. If you get them involved in running and sports, you don't have to be the best runner out there. But do your best. You don't always have to come in first. Do your best. This is what we need to be teaching our children. Whatever is before you, schoolwork, chores, mowing the lawn, do it with all your might. Give it your best. Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So whatever is before you, God says this, I want you to do it like you're doing it unto me. So if you're going to work, this is the context here, servants and masters, we can make that more modern with employee and employers. But if you go to work, man, woman, you should do your best there. Because you're not just working for that boss. I'm working for that one. And he wants me to do my best. We need to teach that to our children. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to try to do your best in everything that you do. Do it with all your might because you're doing it as unto the Lord. Number 16, go with me to Proverbs 22. Both of them are going to be here. Proverbs 22. Christian parents must teach their children how to biblically manage their money. Christian parents must teach their children how to biblically manage their money. And again, this is one of those that is very applicable to every born-again child of God. Teach them how to biblically manage their money. Proverbs 22, verse number 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. teach your children the danger of borrowing money. Credit card is rampant in our day. Average person is in debt. Teach your children not to do that. If you are in debt or you have been in debt, you know the bondage that comes with that. This is what the Bible's talking about. The borrower is servant to the lender. You're not going to live a free life in debt. Debt has ruined so many lives, and sadly, most of it is self-inflicted because we haven't been taught and we're not teaching our children to use their money wisely. I was just talking to somebody the other day. I don't know if the public schools do this or not, but there's one reason why we homeschool. This is an area we can focus more on. My children don't need to know that much about the Inca Indians. If it's in there, we'll teach them about the Inca Indians. But you know what they're going to use every day of their life is money. And why aren't we teaching children how to use money? We're not saying the 25 cents and a dollar. Most kids know that's 25 cents and that's a dollar. What they don't know is how to use that wisely. And our children are growing up and immediately getting in debt. And they are slaves for the rest of their life to the lender. It is a hole that is so hard to get out of. Teach your children what God says about money. Teach them to live within their means. This goes back to what we looked at last week with contentment. Just because Bobby and Susie have it doesn't mean you have to have it. Mom and Dad don't have money for that. They may have money for that. We don't have money for that. But we live in a society today where all of our kids have to have everything that every kid has. You're training your children to grow up and immediately get into debt. Because they're going to grow up and buy the iPhone and buy this and buy that, and they can't afford it. But mom and dad have always put it on the credit card, so I'll put it on the credit card. And they're in debt for the rest of their life because it just keeps rolling over. Please teach your children to live within their means. Let them be content with what they have. If you don't have money for it, don't buy it for your kid. You say, well, they really want this Xbox. If you don't have money for it, if you're in debt, that means you don't have money. You don't buy it. And teach them that. Mom and dad don't have money, and so we cannot buy that. God says, don't spend money you don't have. And so we cannot get that. I love you, but we cannot afford that. Now, if you want to go and earn some money mowing the lawns and stuff like that, then we can talk about other ways that you can contribute. Teach them the danger of borrowing. Teach them the danger of credit cards. Teach your children to save. Here's another bad four-letter word, save. Last week it was work. Today it's save. You know, just because you got $1,000 in your paycheck doesn't mean you have to spend $1,000. Saved. And teach your children that while they're young. They're not just going to grow up and magically do it. They're going to do what everybody does and grow up and spend all of their money. Teach them now to save. Brian has just started getting some mowing jobs, so he gets a little bit of money every week. 25% of it goes into savings. 25%. And then we're going to get this in just a second, and then he gives. A portion of it goes to giving. 25% of it goes to savings, and he cannot touch it. It goes to me. I put it in an envelope, and it goes in my drawer. Because when he turns 18 and wants to buy a car, he'll have money for it. Could he spend every one of those dollars right now? He would love to. Going on vacation, just buying stuff. No. 25%, I'm telling him because I'm his father, 25% comes to me and I put it away. So when he turns 18, he can buy, hopefully my blue car's still around, my hunk of junk for $500. And guess what? He'll have $500. At the end of this year, he'll have over $100 in savings from a little kid that mows three lawns. You can have savings if you would discipline yourself to not spend every dollar that you get. Put money aside. Look at verse number 9. Here's our second reference. Teach your children to give. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. You know, Jesus said, Acts 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How about we teach that to our children? Maybe not buy them everything they want. Maybe say, hey, so-and-so is not doing well in the church. How about we give some of our money to them? Wow, that's a Christian thing to do. We're so self-centered, though, especially when it comes to our kids. No, teach them to be other-centered. Teach them to give. Teach them the blessing it is to give. As you study the Bible, you'll find that there are two things that we are told to give to. One is here, the poor, and that would include our poor brothers and sisters in Christ who are in a time of need. We should give. And secondly, unto ministers of the gospel. Those are two primary things in the scripture that the Bible says we ought to give to. Are you doing that for one? And two, are you teaching that to your children? Number 17, go with me to Numbers 30 and James chapter 5. Numbers 30 and then James chapter 5. Number 17, Christian parents must teach their children to keep their word. To keep their word. Numbers 30, verse number 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Teach your children at a young age to keep their word. If you promise to do that, do it. Even if you swear it to your own hurt, the Bible says, do it. Keep your word. There was a day, at least I'm told, in our country that people could settle things with handshakes. I never saw that day. That was much more in front of me. Today, you've got to have papers and papers of all this stuff because people don't keep their word anymore. Oh, I'll borrow money, never pay it back. Teach your children to keep their word. If you borrowed money, which I would not before, but if you do, you're promising to pay it back. You're a Christian. Keep your word. Teach them their promises, their vows, their oaths should be kept. James 5, verse number 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Now, James is not saying that you can't swear or make oaths. That's what he means by swear here. His point is this. If you said yes, then let your yes be yes. If you said no, let your no be no. You shouldn't always have to make an oath. Now, there are times to make oaths, but you shouldn't always have to make oaths with people. People ought to know this person keeps their word. I don't need to sign a document with them because I know they keep their word. This is what James is teaching here. Let people know your word is your bond. We don't have to make a long contract. If I said I'll pay it back, I'll pay it back. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So Christian parents must teach their children to keep their word. Number 18, Ephesians 4 and Psalm 19. Ephesians 4, that'll be our first, and then Psalm 19. Christian parents must teach their children to speak with grace. Christian parents must teach their children to speak with grace. Ephesians 4, verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I am blown away by the things that I hear, not just from adults, but from the children in society today. I mean, you try to take your kids to the few McDonald's that still have a play place, and some of the words they hear from children is appalling. What happened? No parent instructed them, you can't say that. And you know why they're not instructing them? Because they're saying it themselves. Listen, mom and dad, no corrupt communication ought to proceed out of your mouth. So if it happens to proceed out of your child's mouth, you're not a hypocrite when you say, don't say that. We live in a vulgar society, and I fear it has crept into Christian homes. No corrupt communication should proceed out of our mouths or out of our children's mouths. Meaning, no cussing, no swearing, no profanity, no cursing, no vulgar remarks, no crudeness. You're a child. Not saying adults can be crude, but you're a child. No crude remarks. We don't have to talk about body parts. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let's have decency. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, God listens to your words. And the psalmist said here, God, may those words you hear be acceptable to you. We need to be teaching our children that God is listening to what they're saying. And it doesn't matter what their friends say or what the world says. I don't care what the kids in the neighborhood say. We're Christians. And we speak acceptably in the sight of God. We speak with grace. Number 19, Proverbs 13 and 1 Corinthians 15. Proverbs 13 and 1 Corinthians 15. Here's an important one. They're all important. But Christian parents must teach their children to choose their friends carefully. Teach your children to choose their friends carefully. Proverbs 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We're surprised to some degree that here's the phrase our culture will use: if you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's a phrase. People get surprised by that. I mean, if you have a dog, you probably have fleas. Okay, it just is what it is, because who you're by affects you. Now, fleas don't just want humans, but fleas like dogs, and if you have a dog, they're going to jump on you probably. So don't be surprised if you lie down with dogs and you get up with fleas. The Bible says this: if you walk with wise people, you're probably going to end up being wise because you're around wise people. But if you're a companion of foolish people, don't be surprised when you end up doing foolish things. Don't be surprised when you get destroyed. Because a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, peer pressure is a big thing with our young people. It's a big thing with adults. But especially with kids that turn into teenagers. Their friends are doing this. Their friends are going there. Come on, come with us. And they pressure them. And then they go off, do something stupid. And a kid who would normally not do that, now with those children, will do that and end up hurting himself. He gets physically hurt in some way. Be careful. We need to teach our kids, be careful who your friends are. The friends you choose will affect your course in life.
So choose them carefully. Don't choose your friends based off of coolness or popularity or money. Pick your friends based off of wisdom, righteousness, Christ-likeness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. People don't think it's true, but the Bible says, be not deceived. You can easily be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The word communication here generally means companionship. What is Paul saying? He's saying, don't be so naive to think that bad companionships won't rub off on you. We always say, no, I can go out and hang out with them and I can still do, still keep my principles and still keep my standards and still not do these things. But then get 10 guys together that are age 14, 15, and 16. And they start pressuring you to go get drunk. And they start pressuring you to smoke that cigarette. They start with nowadays, look at my phone. Look at this junk. Well, got to be cool. Next thing you know, we got 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds addicted. Drinking, smoking, pornography, because of friends, bad friends. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We need to teach our children that who they make their friends will affect them for good or evil. Now, please don't misunderstand. We should be friendly to all. But there are some people I don't make close friends. Maybe it's fine enough to play with them for 15 minutes under supervision or play with them for 30 minutes under supervision. But this is not a person you just go out and play with no supervision. Friendly to all, but not everyone should be our close friend. Number 20, Galatians chapter 6. This last one will be a hard one for some. Hosea chapter 8. Galatians chapter 6 and Hosea chapter 8. And there's so much more that we could definitely put into this, but here's 20 to get us started. And I turned right to Hosea. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 6, we'll start there. Christian parents must teach their children that you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Galatians 6, we'll start reading verse number 7. Be not deceived. Again, for whatever reason, we think things are different. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's a basic truth, but we need our children to understand it. You will reap what you sow. Now, is there forgiveness from God and from parents? Absolutely. But that forgiveness won't take away consequences. You addict yourselves to these different things. God will forgive you if you repent. But you're going to struggle with those things. Because you made it a habit and a matter of life. Those things, for the rest of your life, you will be reaping what you sowed. Is there forgiveness with God? Praise the Lord, yes. But don't think that you went to God and said, forgive me, and he forgave you, that then all the side effects go away. If you were an alcoholic, you're going to have liver problems the rest of your life. Why? Because you reap what you sow. That's what you did. And so you're going to get that. We need to teach our children these truths now. Don't start certain things. Don't start doing those things. Don't start living that way. It looks fun at the start. But there is a harvest that will come afterwards. You will reap what you sow. Proverbs 13:15 say, the way of transgressors is hard. It looks fun, but it ends hard. You know why? Because you reap what you sow. The partying life looks fun, but it ends hard because you reap what you sow. Hosea chapter 8, verse number 7. They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. You see, what people forget is not only do you reap what you sow, but you always reap more than you sow. You plant one little kernel of corn. Do you expect to get one little kernel of corn? No, I expect to get a whole crop, at least 2 ears, with lots of kernels on each one of those ears. Because the truth of the matter is, you always reap more than you sow. And people think they can do a little bit of sin and then not reap a lot of heartache. If you reap a little bit, or if you sow a little bit, just understand, you're going to reap a lot more. Now, that's good and bad. If it's bad stuff you're sowing, you sow to your flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, guess what? That multiplies too. Just as you sow bad stuff, you're going to get a lot of heartache. If you sow good stuff, you're going to get a lot of good stuff in return. So this is a warning, but it can also be a blessing. Warn our kids, remember, you reap what you sow, so sow good things. Sow good things. Don't sow to your flesh. The wages of sin always come back with interest. Sow to the Spirit, and you'll reap life everlasting. That's a whole bunch of good stuff. So here we have 20 things. Again, not an exhaustive list, but a list for especially us as parents to get our minds working. What should we be teaching our children? Here's some things to help with that. Last week I put these things in the back foyer. Part 2 is also now in the back foyer as well, listing all of those 20 things that we have looked at. And let me encourage every person here, whether or not you have kids, these are things you should be working on too. Okay, your acquaintances still affect you, not just kids. Okay, you still reap what you sow. So all of these things, may the Lord help each and every one of us to learn and practice in our life. All right, let's have a word of prayer.